I'm feeling a bit sheepish, Maeve.
Why is that?
Well, just that the tagline of our show has borrowed language from a good friend of mine that I was speaking to recently, Gina McCarthy.
Gina McCarthy. Well, I know McCarthy is a very popular name here in Ireland, but is this the same Gina McCarthy who used to head up the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, under President Obama?
Under Obama, it is indeed.
Yes.
And she is a wonderful speaker about health and climate change in particular. She's currently director of the Center for Health and the Global Environment at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health in Boston. And that's where I met up with her recently.
Oh, good. So did you two like dine in one of Harvard's fine halls?
Well, we were actually due to have a meeting with the mayor.
Yeah.
But we had a chance to go outside and actually enjoy the duck pond and the local park and sit on a bench.
Tell me, what was it like to be appointed by President Obama to head the Environmental Protection Agency?
Well, you know, at that point, he wasn't an unknown quantity to me. You know, we had worked together because I had been in the administration as an assistant administrator in the air and climate programs. But I have to say it was a leap above. And so we had this brief conversation where I said, Mr. President, I'm a little tired from 4 years of doing this stuff, but I loved him. I loved the country. I wanted to serve it. And he said, would you do this work? And I said, I'd love to, but only if you really want to kick it on climate. And he said, I only want you there if you kick it on climate. So that was it. It was sort of a marriage made in heaven. We started with the car industry. President Obama was very big on let's get them moving, let's save the jobs. But part of that was let's talk about the kind of cars you're actually building. And why are other countries building really fuel-efficient vehicles to sell. So we ended up negotiating with the car companies. That got us rolling. Mm. Then we started doing work in the utility industry to get them to clean up, to reduce mercury and other pollutants that everybody agreed they needed to do. And while the car industry wants to rethink all those standards we did, you know, they're beginning to realize that that's not the best path forward. Mm. They're not united in that, and I think they're going to stick.
And what was it like to have Mr. Pruitt succeed you?
I didn't know him. I had met him only once, and I did know he had sued the agency 14 times, which is not usually a good sign for the next EPA administrator. You know, he's proven, I think, to be quite challenging for myself as a past administrator, but also past Republican administrators. So all of us have been speaking out at this because that he came in, really, it looks like, with a wish list from the industry, which is roll back everything the Obama administration ever thought to do or did, and let's get some relief for businesses and count that as success, rather than looking at what it actually does to public health and the environment, whether it is the smartest economic move to make for our country. Because I think clean energy is the future.
Absolutely. This is a strong country institutionally. It's a strong democratic country. Are there enough checks and balances to curb somebody like that trying to undo necessary regulations?
What I have to rely on right now is a couple of things. One is the democracy's waking up at the grassroots level. It's busy in cities and states. New people are looking to run for office, women, veterans. Mm. We're getting turnovers. I'm hoping that there's a big turnover in the midterm election so that people who care about the whole country, not just a small fraction of it, actually get a stronger voice, but also to rely on the courts.
Yeah.
That's what I hang my hat on because he is really attempting to roll back all of the progress we made at EPA, not just on climate, but on core protections that we've relied on for generations. And it's just important to recognize that my hope is the fact that he's not doing those rules well, he's not looking at all of the facts and figures and science and following the law that he has to.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
So if they go to court, I'm quite confident they won't hold. But really, I think what all of us care about being public servants and working for the public for so long is they're making democracy look weak. They're making the United States look vulnerable.
Well, let's look at cities. And we're going to be meeting the mayor this afternoon, the mayor of Boston. And I gather he's convening, or there is a convening of U.S. Mayors. Tell us about that.
Cities are where it's at right now, Mary. I mean, I know that everybody worries internationally and in the U.S. about what's going on in Washington, but my message to them is stop watching just that.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a magic show. You're looking at the wrong hand. And lots of the magic is happening elsewhere. And so where it's happening is at cities and states. You know, where it's happening is at grassroots organizations. Where it's happening is in the market, where renewable energy and energy efficiency are paying
off.
I'm
hearing a little bit from some, you know, climate grassroots people that there's a lot of talk, but are they walking the talk?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
That is what everybody has to look at. And I worry about the same thing, is that we have to have people in every community demanding that mayors do the right thing, not just getting them to say the right thing. So I think it has to be, as it always has been in this country, a mix of grassroots organizations pushing mayors to do the right thing.
And are they getting enough support? I mean, there's a fair bit of money around for climate active, but does it get to those who are actually the stalwarts and often volunteers, but they just need a little bit of recognition and support?
They do, and I don't think they're getting as much support as I would certainly like to see them, because in the United States, that's where all the action has started, and they've always been the ones to push. And I always like to say that environmental protection trickles up from the grassroots organizations, because pollution always trickles down and it hits the most vulnerable. So what grassroots organizations speak to are the minority communities, the poor that have left behind, the disenfranchised. They're the ones that never have a voice, that are always left behind, and they get solutions last. So I'm working with not just grassroots organizations, but I'm working with Connecticut Green Bank on the board, because they're finding financial structures to make clean energy available to those who don't have the direct money to buy it themselves. But there are ways in which we can make this work. That's what we have to do, is keep working together. But I do think I see an awakening. You know, I see individuals, I see marching by scientists, I see marching by women, I see a Me Too movement, I see a Black Lives Matter movement, I see Parkland students fighting against gun violence. I haven't seen this kind of empowerment by individuals recognizing that this country is, in Washington, heading in the wrong direction, and we're not going to stand for it anymore. And I want people to know that in this country, very few things start at the federal level. And what they're trying to do to take down all the work of the Obama administration is simply not going to work, because it's not fact-based, it's not science-based, it's not legally sound.
So what's your kind of biggest hope, and what's your biggest worry? Maybe begin with the worry.
The biggest worry that I have, frankly, is in this country, is the threat against science itself. I'm worried about that, because I think they're doing everything in their power to discourage scientists from speaking up. There's a lot of money going on from the fossil industry and others heading up junk science folks who go out and start attacking scientists directly and personally. There's an effort to take away all the funding for science.
You spoke recently to the Union of Concerned Scientists. What was your message to them?
My message to them was to really focus on continuing to move forward. You know, they have to boost up the scientists that are doing this work. They have to speak clearly and less scientifically to people. So I always tell them they have to say three things. Climate change is real. Climate change is a result of man-made emissions, which is why women need to rule the world.
And your greatest hope?
My greatest hope is, I think, an individual speaking up and marching. I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's getting individuals involved, making all these issues relevant, having them understand that democracy is of, by, and for the people. When I see new women and young people and veterans and others stepping up and saying, we're not going to see a country dissing its own democracy, turning a blind eye to its own institutions that have worked so well, that they're not going to stand for an environmental protection agency that doesn't protect people or the environment, that's where I see my greatest hope. You know, when you have a country like ours that strays so far in one direction, I'm waiting for the boing back.
And final question, are we close to that kind of broad movement that we need in this country and around the world, which focuses on the future has to be better and safer and more equitable and fairer, and that we can get there, in particular because of the extraordinary changes that are taking place in access to clean energy for all?
I think without question we're closer than we've ever been. And I think we need to keep investing. But I think if we ask people to invest in their children's health and future today, that will build a healthier, more sustainable world as we go. And that's my hope, and that's my belief. I think it's going to happen. It has to happen.
And women are going to make the difference.
Oh, absolutely. You know it and I know it, baby.
Exactly. Well, that's great. Thank you.
Mary, it was fun. Thanks so much.